Welcome to another episode of the No Sports Podcast. I'm Essam Kassam.
And I'm Jack Williams.
And we have another great episode for you guys this week. We're going to preview the Wake Forest game, talk a little bit about the college football playoffs that come out next week. The poll comes out next week. Mm-hmm. A great story Jack did earlier this week about last week about Garden of the Goldfish. FSU women's soccer has a huge game this week, and men's and women's basketball start their exhibition part of the season.
Yeah, we have a whole lineup coming your guys' way. As we've mentioned before in the past, you can look at our football analysis from the week that is on Seminole Script. That is our little weekly Thursday midweek show. So if you guys are looking for something just football focused, you can find that here. But here at Null Sports Podcast, we're gonna go over just about everything today. So we're starting off with football. As I mentioned, we're just gonna kind of go down the gauntlet and just about cover everything from what's going on right now to what is coming up soon. But Essen, let's just jump into it right now. Kind of looking at the schedule here, I guess what are we leading off with?
Let's talk about the slow mesh offense.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Wake Forest is, I mean, this is a team, I've mentioned this multiple times already, but it's just a team that's, it's very interesting that this is the team that is giving, you know, has given FSU the most problems out of the last few years. It really isn't, you know, they haven't really been known as a football perennial powerhouse, but, you know, we're starting to see a lot of growth in the program lately, and it's, you know, it's hampered FSU lately. FSU has lost three straight games to Wake Forest. Their last win was, I believe, in 2017, or I believe that's the last time they won in Winston-Salem. Mike Norvell has not beaten Wake Forest during his time here. And it's a lot of it's gone into this unique offense, this slow mesh offense. Fans saw it last year when Wake Forest came to FSU and beat them. It's really just the quarterback just takes his sweet time deciding whether he wants to pass the ball or he wants to hand it off or just take it himself. It's basically a offense that allows a lot of buffering time to get the play off. And what it really looks like too is they hand off the ball or whatever it looks like a handoff might be, and they kind of walk it up or they kind of lean in with it for a bit, and then the play comes very quickly. You know, I was watching a lot of videos on it because I wrote our opponent preview when this comes out, but you know, talking a lot about it, just kind of explain it to people. I watched some game footage as well, and you kind of see them, the running back and the quarterback are kind of holding the ball together, walking up, and then the play comes extremely quickly, leaving a receiver either wide open because the defense doesn't know what to do because they don't know where the play is going. It's a very unique look, and I mean, Essen could break it down even more for you, just, you know, how unique this offense is.
Definitely. I mean, Florida State's played this offense before. It's a different offense, but they're not used to it because it's not a traditional offense. Dave Clawson, it's his offense he installed since he's taken over at Wake Forest, and it's worked really well. It was really good with Sam Hartman, obviously, who's at Notre Dame now, who was a star quarterback for Wake Forest for a long time. But Dave Griffiths, who's their quarterback now, is taking over. He's had some up and downs, a redshirt sophomore. He has 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, thrown for over 2,000 yards, I believe. He's a very talented quarterback. But obviously he's a first-year starter, so he's figuring it out still. But he's grown up in this offense, the heir apparent, so he knows what he could do. It should be interesting to see how he operates the offense. Last week's game against Pitt, where they escaped with a victory, which we talked about in Seminole Script a little bit.
Right.
And Jack had a great story on it as well, or mentioned in our opponent preview and in a story to be yesterday about the quarterback, which quarterback's going to play. We expect Griffiths to play. That's what Dave Clawson indicated. But yeah, I mean, they closed off the offense last week when Mariucci started as his first career start. They kind of closed off the offense, so it's going to be more open this week. So Florida State's going to see a full gauntlet of that offense instead of just like a few plays here and there. Should be interesting because that's, like you mentioned, I like how you explained it. It's a slow-moving offense, yet once they get to the play, once they decide what they're doing, it moves fast, and it's like, so they lull you to sleep a little bit, like, you know, oh, we're going to run the ball. Everyone jumps inside and is ready to tackle a running back, but the quarterback pulls back, throws it, you know, and they have a wide-open guy downfield.
Yeah, it's essentially like a slingshot just because, you know, the motion of pulling it back is that is that quarterback spending the time, and then as soon as it's let go, the thing flings forward, and that's how it is. It's slow to wind up, but then as soon as it comes off, it comes off very fast. But I mean, it's going to be an interesting game as well, and you know, some people around the college football world are thinking this is going to be a trap game as well. One of them being Kirk Herbstreit said on ESPN that he thinks that FSU is going to be on upset alert. SN had a story about it today. Did a little bit more digging on Herbstreit's comments, I guess, and seemed to, I don't really think FSU fans enjoyed hearing that, but I mean, considering this is 21-point favorite, 20-point favorite.
20.5-point favorite per bet online, which is like we use a lot. But yeah, what Kirk said was, I just think Florida State going to Wake, it's always sleepy at Wake, and Wake has a good team, well coached, and if you don't show up with the right attitude, you're going to be in the fourth quarter looking if it's a 3-point game. Has that kind of feel this week for Florida State. And now Florida State fans are going to say ESPN hates Florida State. Herbstreit hates Florida State. But Herbstreit is someone who's covered Florida State a lot this year. You know, so he knows this team. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I don't have Florida State in an upset alert. But at the same time, I can see it happening because Wake Forest is a formidable opponent. It's a noon game. It's going to be a tough environment. So it has all the makings of a trap game. It does. I just think Florida State's gonna be ready for this one. I think the earlier games on the road, which we talked about a little bit in Seminole Script again, is something that's gonna kind of remind the team of like, hey, this is what we have to do. We have to get our job done. They are coming off a major win. It was an emotional game against Duke, with the homecoming, with Seminole Heritage Day celebration, with a major win over Duke, a program that, you know, has never beaten Florida State, so they didn't want to end that streak this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot going on. Last week, it was an emotional game. Once again, Seminole Script, we talked about how it was the most electric atmosphere that either me and Jack have experienced at Doak Campbell. So there's me, like, I do understand where he's coming from. I don't see it as a trap game, but you never know. It's college football.
It is, and you know, you've seen weirder things happen this year. You've seen a lot of teams keep pace with teams. You know that, you know, eventually the better team wins at the end. And we've seen some big upsets. I mean, we saw last week too, Virginia. I mean, I think that might have been their first FBS win of the season. Virginia came around and beat UNC, and you know, potentially could have just derailed UNC's hopes of, you know, possibly making they're still a favorite to make the ACC championship game. This makes things a little bit harder, but they have definitely derailed, in my opinion, their chances to get into the college football playoff.
Oh, definitely. I think
playoffs.
But of course, as we talked to someone earlier today, I guess we could name it, Ryan Kelly, talked to him earlier.
Yeah, of WCTV. Yeah.
So we talked to him earlier, and he made a good point. You know, UNC's path is if they beat Florida State, all of a sudden, and Florida State's undefeated, I think they do have an argument. So they're probably not eliminated per se yet, but it's a long shot now for them. And I still would argue that one loss ACC team has a hard shot chance of getting in just because the conference does not look great, the reputation of the conference, and then like just be hilarious to watch a one loss Florida State be like defend the ACC after what they've done the last year of like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's besides the point, you know. But yeah. What are your thoughts? Do you think Florida State's an upset alert?
I honestly don't. I mean, I might be becoming influenced by the emails we get every Sunday, but I don't think this is a. I think this is a game that Florida State should handle, needs to handle. I think we've been waiting for that game that Florida State needs to prove that they are a good rounded team. That could handle competition on the road, as we've mentioned before. But LSU did not really count as a road game. It's a neutral site game that was in Florida. It was pretty much 80% Florida State fans. And there are two road challenges. You could argue one was one that everyone kind of knew was going to be close, that being the Clemson game, and one that everyone thought was going to be a blowout, that being Boston College, that ended in a 2-point effort. You could argue that the, you know, the red bandana game had some emotional significance to it, which it does, and that played a part into the result. But at the same time, too, it was a game that Florida State was heavily favored in, and honestly, a similar line to this game. But I mean, coming out of three really strong weeks, a strong showing against Duke, I think this is a game, in my opinion, and I might look bad, very wrong for doing this. If it's closer, I think it's going to be a wide win for Florida State. I think this is the ACC game on the road that they'll need to show that they can handle the road environment. So I'm going to go with Florida State 38 and then Wake Forest 14.
38-14. So you have them covering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have Florida State also with 38.
Mm-hmm.
But I have Wake Forest 20. So I have them not covering. I think it's going to be a close game throughout until Florida State pulls away in the fourth quarter. I do think that you know, it's going to be within a score to two scores, and Florida State just scores twice late. And it puts us away because they are the better team. They are more talented. They are probably at this point have a lot more to play for. Wake Forest is just playing for – I mean, not saying that pride's unimportant, but they're playing for pride. They are probably going to get the bowl eligible. Like, at four wins right now, they have, you know, five games left.
Mm-hmm.
So more than likely, we'll get the bowl eligible. They are still figuring out their quarterback situation with, you know, Griffiths coming back this week.
Mm-hmm.
They might play both quarterbacks this week. That's something that Clausen did not rule out. He's not going to tip his hand, which makes sense. Like, why would you tell a team that you're a heavy favorite under? But it was interesting to hear Clausen's interview. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he started around 2013, 2014. And he said Florida State's back to being that elite program they were when he took over. So that was a high compliment. He complimented Jordan Travis, complimented Keon Coleman. He complimented, Keon Coleman. He calls a great specimen at 6'4". Like, he's a ridiculous athlete. We've seen that. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
He talked highly of, Johnny Wilson, who we will see if he plays. That's a questionable to game.
Yeah, it's up in the air, yeah.
He, as if you guys probably already know, if you're listening to his podcast, he left the game against Duke last week in the third quarter. After it looked like a hit to the head, no speculating what the injury was, but he left early, did not return. It was the second time in 3 weeks he left. He missed the Syracuse game, so he's played four quarters in the past three games. I would say this is a game that I don't want to say you overlook anyone, but it's a game you could afford to be without Johnny.
Yeah.
Because there's more important games coming down the line, so I think this is a game that they could manage without him. So we'll see if he plays. If he does not, we've seen Destin Hill, missed last week's game, has been back, but doing everything again, having a pretty good couple days of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's back, he's looking good. And obviously you have the running back group that, that looks good. Jordan Travis might have, I was looking at stats earlier, another couple of good games. He could actually insert him back himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation.
He could. I think a lot of people have been mentioning it too, whether it be, people that we work with or people that are in our comments. You just mentioned that he needs to start moving, using his legs a little bit more. And that's really, we saw that against the Duke game, that he really started using his legs a little bit more, and we started seeing the Jordan Travis that we were seeing. I know I've said this so many times per week, but we see the Jordan Travis that we were seeing last year that was extremely mobile, that was Houdini-like, and just getting out of just different situations, getting the playoff, and just big gains. We were seeing a lot of that against Duke. And as you mentioned, too, these stretch of games at Wake Forest, Pitt, Miami, North Alabama, falling into Florida, this could be really a really big game for him. These could be really big games for him to just, continue rolling. And, like you said, he could possibly insert himself back into that Heisman race.
Definitely. One thing before we move on to the college football playoffs is we'll talk about a national story. let's talk about Michigan a little bit.
Yeah, there's been the whole thing going around, or it's been news, honestly, so it hasn't been going on. It's been news that's been going around about Michigan and the sign-stealing allegations that they have been dealt upon in purchasing, sending coaches to go to
different Big Ten
games around the country and steal
signs. And not just Big Ten, the latest was that they've been going to SEC games or potential playoff opponents or just different teams.
So. Yeah, and it's obviously not okay at all to be doing something like that. That's cheating.
Is bad. Who thought?
It's not good. it's not great. But Norvell actually did talk a little bit about it today, and had some interesting comments to say about it as well.
Definitely, he called it unethical, which against the rules generally means that. So
yeah,
we agree with him on that.
Yeah.
He talked about they have a complex system where. They're not running the same play. They're not doing different signs. They're doing a lot of different things as to make sure that they're not giving away plays, because as Norva mentioned, when you've moved to – before when you had the – when he mentioned his youth football days, when you just had a coach relay to one player and the player goes into the huddle, we don't see huddles as much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to go back to quarterback saying this is the play, because you still have to have signs
mm-hmm.
when you're doing no huddle, which – FSU loves the run.
Mm.
So we talk about the potential thing with the NFL, though, is having a quarterback out of the helmet, talking to the coach at all times. But that's really hard to do if you're doing no huddle, because you still got to send signs out to the rest of the offense of what play you're running.
Right, and he mentioned too that he didn't want, he didn't want things. Football becomes a video game like as well. He mentioned he likes seeing the progress of the players and helping them develop and stuff like that. So it's something that he talked about as well too on that. And then he mentioned when it came to sign stealing too, he's like if somebody is able, I'm verbalizing what he did, but he's like, if someone sticks their finger up and like moves it up and down multiple times over and over again, that's what they're doing and that is their play call.
And they run the same play.
And they run the same play every time. You're going to catch on to that. But if it's like going to, like, if it's what is going on at Michigan, if it's like going to different games and specifically going to watch their unique play calls, then that's something completely different.
Yeah, and he said, made a great point. He's like, if someone's a purchase a ticket to our game and show up and watch in the stands and steal signs, he's like, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
Which is unfortunate. It just sucks to hear, someone would go to that length just to win a football game. It's like, it's amazing, and obviously this is all alleged. We're not saying Michigan did this or did not do this, because until the investigation's done, it's all alleged, mm-hmm. So we're not accusing them of doing anything, but that is the story out there right now, the alleged story out there.
That is the current, that is the current stance of everything going on, but we'll transition back into college football playoffs. Oh, I'm going to be saying that so many times. No, Michigan is a team in the mix, and next Tuesday, the first college football playoff rankings are coming out.
Halloween could be a scary time for some.
It could be scary. It honestly could be scary for some teams. It could be a trick. It could be a treat for some teams.
Trick or treat.
Honestly, for the area, not the area. Oh my God. I used to be the preps writer, so that's why I was saying that. For college football teams across the country. Go ahead. Aston's going to kind of run through who is in the current AP top four right now.
And we'll go, of the top 10 AP teams, six of them are facing a true road game or neutral site game, where it could be interesting to see, number one, Georgia, is at Florida this week. I believe they're like a 20.5-point favorite as well.
Right.
But it's a Florida-Georgia rivalry. We've seen crazier things. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia wins that, but that could be interesting. Michigan versus Purdue, somewhat interesting, but not really. Ohio State at Wisconsin, that's a road game. I don't expect Wisconsin to do anything there, but could be interesting. Obviously, FSU number 4 at Wake Forest. You have Washington at Stanford. Once again, that's a game Washington should win.
Yeah.
Oklahoma at Kansas. Kansas could make things interesting.
Kansas is always someone that shakes the cage or whatever the analogy is. Rocks the boat.
Rocks the boat. I like that. Texas versus BYU. Texas should win. Mm-hmm. Oregon at Utah, which I believe College Game Day is this week.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. Alabama LSU.
Always a classic.
Always a fun game. 7:45 p.m. kick, so that's going to be well after. I'm going to watch that game for sure.
And you might as well just throw a number 10 and do it and see who.
And number 10, Penn State against Indiana. And then let's just throw number 11, Oregon State. Arizona's also an interesting game. So
yeah, Arizona's been very interesting.
Of the top 11, I think 7 are in interesting road games. So could be an interesting weekend to see what happens.
Let's see if anybody makes some jumps or anything like that. Also, Georgia is a 14.5 favorite over Georgia. So it should be a good game.
Yeah, Jacksonville neutral site game. It's always fun, Georgia, Florida. I know Georgia jumped out to a huge lead last year, and then Florida came back a little bit. But that was a different team,
Yeah, year to year, everything's very different.
So me and Jack, and this is going to be based on today.
Yeah, we made these predictions.
Based off today.
Today, Wednesday, October 25th, we made these predictions. SM will, everybody cross your fingers and do get all your lucky things out. SM is going to drop his top four predictions.
Should we do it like the college football playoff? Does it go 4-1, or should we just go 1-4?
Go 1-4, because I think people want to know who are like the last two in.
All right, so number one.
Oh, wait, we should have done like who? No, let's just do it on the fly. Let's do who are the top two teams we think are like the first two out.
First two out. All right.
Oh, well, go from one, and then we'll do the wait. Then do your first two out, and then do the last two.
Okay, so
1, 2, 5, 6, and then 3, 4.
All right, so number one. Until they lose a game. Because they're two-time defending champions, Georgia Bulldogs.
Agreed.
Number two, I think, and Jack can attest, I've been high on this team all year.
He has. You can look it back at our another podcast that
another podcast we did, and he did mention that he does think this team was the number two team at the country at the time, and they weren't, but
they should have been, in my opinion. Number two, with the current, I think my current Heisman, Washington Huskies. Okay, so now we're doing 5 and 6.
Yeah, go in your 5 and 6.
All right, number five. The Cheaters. Just kidding.
The what? Oh, my God.
Michigan. Michigan's number five. Yes. Mm. The current number AP2 team, I have number five. Jack will talk a little about this as well because we're in agreement, but they're number five for me about why they're a little lower. And number six, I'll go Ohio State.
Okay.
So I'm not showing the Big Ten love right now.
No, definitely not. okay, who's your number three?
Number three. Screw it. Let's go number four. Oklahoma. Okay.
Oklahoma, the Sooners.
Oh, Florida State fans in suspense now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, number three, Florida State.
Just had to throw Florida 25. Florida State 25. No.
Yeah, I have Florida State number three. Obviously, they have can go up and go down. Just Georgia, like I mentioned, they don't have that major signature win yet, but they are Georgia. They're two-time defending champions until they get knocked off. They're my number one. Mm-hmm. And they look solid this year. Like, you know, Carson Beck is slowly settling as a quarterback. Their defense elite, Brock Bowers, is out, which is going to hurt them. But I still like Georgia a lot. Number two, Washington, that win over Oregon, I think, is the signature win of the year.
Yeah.
If you disagree, you know, you could email me and let me know. Number three, Florida State.
Putting that on yourself.
I am. Number three, I have FSU. Look, they've had a great start to the season. Beat LSU, Clemson, Duke wins are fantastic, but they don't have that. I don't think they have that marquee win yet. Mm-hmm. And it might not be on their schedule until like ACC championship game when they beat North Carolina. That could be their major win because North Carolina still be top 15. Mm-hmm. That could be their signature win. Maybe LSU looks better at the end of the year, and then Oklahoma, that win over Texas, I think stands out to me. Yes, Ohio State has a win over Notre Dame, but they have one loss to Pitt. Pitt, who lost to Louisville. To Louisville. Louisville, who lost to Pitt. So it just does not sit right with me for the Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I still have questions about them. I think they're a very good team. And obviously, this will all play itself out when these teams play each other. But this is my top four right now. Jack, you want to go to yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So, here. Number one, in agreement with Essen, is Georgia. Like Essen said, too, it's just this team has not lost in X amount of days. They're two-time defending champions. I always get mixed with those numbers. I don't want to make mistakes. But, you could argue the schedule they're playing. You could argue about the results. But at the same time, too, they're undefeated.
One thing to be noted is, obviously, they lost the game. They played Jack's alma mater this year.
They did play my alma mater.
But that's because they lost the Oklahoma game because Oklahoma is moving to the SEC.
That was the whole situation. Oklahoma was moving the SEC, and the SEC did not want Georgia and Oklahoma playing that close to when they were making the switch. So Georgia had an open date. Because
they're going to be on their schedule next year anyways.
And my mid-major school in Indiana, Ball State, decided to play Georgia. Week right after they played Kentucky.
They got the money, though.
They got the money. They're paying for it right now. They're 2-6 right now. So, anyway, Georgia's my one. You could
think this in that Ball State podcast, right?
Ball State's definitely not making the college football playoffs. Sorry. Number two is Ohio State. Essen's not big on them, but I am. I think
he's big on the Big Ten.
I think that it's big time from Big Ten to country. I thought the Penn State win was a big win for them. They won pretty sizable too. I think if this team has more like tighter game, they have they beat Notre Dame too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Notre Dame game as well, and Notre Dame's fallen off a bit, and Penn State's fallen off a little bit too. And Penn State's still a top 10 team. Notre Dame is still a top 15 team. They're starting to put together the resume they have in the Big Ten. Essen's opening Smarties right now, so if you hear like crinkling, that's what that is. But I'm okay. But Ohio State's my number two. I think they've put together the resume right now, and I think it's going to continue to build for them as they go down throughout the year if they can get those wins. And there's that big time game coming up against Michigan, and that will kind of be the decider, in my opinion.
And before you go on, I think it's fair to point out, like, this is kind of nitpicking right now.
Yeah.
Because these teams are all undefeated. They all have great resumes.
Right.
And any of these six teams that we're going to mention today, unless Jack mentioned someone else, because No, out of the top six we've talked about.
No, we'll jump now. We'll do it the same way you did. I'll do my six and my five now. My number six is... My number six... hold on. I just forgot it. My number six is for Michigan. It's Michigan. I don't... Like, again, we're nitpicking. Me and Essen are reporters to cover Florida State. We're not on the committee. So these are just what I think right now. You could tell me I'm wrong until the cows come home. Do not email me. Essen put that on him, not me. I just don't think... Listen, they've been dominant. They're popping off. They look good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They haven't played anyone, in my opinion. Yeah, if this was a basketball schedule, hell yeah, Michigan will be good. They're playing Indiana. They're playing Rutgers. They're playing all these other teams. But when this is football, they look good, but they're just not... It's the opponents are not there for me. And, like... I'm kind of big when I'm doing this on the strength of schedule and who they're playing. Michigan's just not doing it for me yet. They really have – it's two games really they have in the regular season that are going to be like, wow, this is going to tell us how good they are, and it's Penn State and Ohio State. We will see how good Michigan is, like a true test for Michigan when those two come around. But in my opinion, I'm sorry – but, like, Bowling Green, that's where my dad went to school, by the way. So, he knows. Bowling Green's not – okay, I'm not going to mention the score because it's not going to go into it too much. But Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Nebraska back, like, X years ago. Nebraska X years ago would have been, an exciting game. But Nebraska's just been on and off for a while. Minnesota's been kind of middle of the pack lately, and then Indiana has not been good. They just beat Michigan State 49-0. Playing Purdue next, and then Penn State. Then you go to Maryland, you play Maryland, and then you get Ohio State. Like, it just doesn't really jump out. And if you've even mentioned the games before that, like, they had the chance to... No, really buffer up, and I promise I'm going to be done talking about Michigan right after this, but you could buffer up your schedule by playing, an SEC school or an ACC school or a Pac-12 school or a Big 12 school. Apparently they went for the money games. They play UNLV. Granted, I guess you can say it because UNLV is like one loss. It's, in my opinion, it's not enough for a team that wants to get into the football playoffs. And then East Carolina, like that's just – and then Bowling Green, your three like out-of-conference games – our group of five teams. Like, it's just, that's why I have them at six. I went too long for that, so I apologize. My number five team is, hold on, let me remember it. Okay, I remembered it. Is Florida, Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma. I think this team is gonna be very interesting running down the gate. They're really I think they really have a good chance to make that jump in. I think they're just going to fall just short. I don't know what's telling me. I think it's just the teams in front of me that I think are going to get in front of them and stuff like that. At the same time, too, they do have a lot of games that could be disruptors coming up. They have Kansas coming up, which is a very random team. They have Oklahoma State, which Bedlam is a wild game. Our co-worker, our First Amendment reporter, Douglas Soule, is a West Virginia alum. And
I had to point that out
on the schedule, too. They're playing West Virginia, which could be a trap game. BYU not too much. TCU, not too much. The only reason I didn't have them too much in, and granted, you can pick this apart with every other team on here. I know I'm like dwelling too long on this, but like they played a really tight game against UCF, and UCF has been pretty awful in the Big 12 transitional year, so that was the only thing. But they're not my number five. Okay, now my top – what? Yes?
Yes, I was going to say, taking back if – Jackson, don't email him. If you want to email him concerns about him or complaints about him, I'd be happy to respond and disagree, sorry.
Essen is going to be my agent through all of this now, so everything could be sent to Essen. Anyway, everything. My number four pick is Washington. I see it wasn't dramatic there.
Who's number three?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Ball State. for Washington, they look good. They have that win over Oregon. Michael Penix. Essen's probably like jumping up and down in his chair right now because I'm agreeing with everything he just said. Michael Penix is a Heisman front runner right now. They look very good. As much as it hurts me to say Michael Penix is a Heisman front runner because he played at Indiana when Ball State played Indiana and he torched us. But Washington looks like a number four team right now. I do think I'll have to look deeper into who they're playing, but this is who I have right now. My number three team is Tallahassee Community College. No, it's Florida State. It's Florida State.
Upset.
It's Florida State's number three. I mean, I think we talk enough about Florida State all the time, too. I don't really need to do my spiel here, but they're undefeated. They have kind of the show-me games a little bit with LSU and Clemson. You talk about Florida coming down the schedule, too.
Miami's still on the schedule. These Wake Forest, Pittsburgh games are going to be more important than people realize.
Mm-hmm. I think these two road games they have coming up against opponents, you could say... in some context that they are lesser, but they are towards the bottom of the ACC standings. That's a fact.
That's a fact, Jack.
Word. Anyway, that you could say, but these are games that I think that if they blow up the score, like win by a sizable margin, then that could help them even more. And if somebody loses in front of them, that could really help them. And then, you know, UNA, that could be a repeat of what they did against Idaho back in 2013. I mean, it's kind of lining up to look like that, but I don't know. Something, it could be closer, it could be big, I don't know. And then Florida, I think that's lining up to be a really good game. Miami.
We might talk about those two games before they happen. I don't know.
Maybe.
We might preview them. We'll let
Miami,
you guys know.
Miami of Ohio? Miami, that's going to be an entertaining game, too. The environment's going to be exciting as well. I think that's what me and Essen are really looking forward to as well, just the environment for that Miami game.
I mean, they just beat Clemson at home, so that was a big win for them. That's a big win for the program that, you know, was kneeling their season away. Mm. Oh, sorry, not kneeling their season away.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up with this part of it. Those are college football playoff predictions.
Okay. I'm excited for this now. Transitioning God. From that, you know, we did a fun story. We get to do, like, you know, we do a lot of, like, you know, what we call furniture stories where they just are just, like, you know, they're always there. They're going to be stories that we do because they're, you know, we want to give you guys the best coverage to get to know the team you're playing, that Florida State's playing. Mm-hmm. Get to know the players on Florida State. We love doing those features. But sometimes a fan pops out and has a crazy backstory. And I'll let Jack talk about this a little bit more. It's his story he did last week on Garnet the Goldfish.
Yeah, I mean, me and Essen have been kind of seeing this from a press box, too, in Game for Game, when they do the kind of the fan cam, like, go over the student section, stuff like that. There's a kid standing there with a goldfish. Like, not like the cracker, like the living goldfish, like fish. Like fish. I don't know how to emphasize that
more. And we had questions. We had, like, is this the same fish every game? Is this, like, you know, is this safe for the fish? Is that what, like, all the questions a journalist you might imagine have a journalist would have, like, how does he get it in? How does he do all this? Well, you know what? Jack went straight to the source.
Yeah, I mean, his name is also Jack. It's Jack. Oh, God. You know what? I'm going to have my computer pronounce it so I don't have to do it.
Henny X.
Henny X, because there's an S at the end. Jack Henny X. This is the name of the super fan. You guys might remember him. He's the same fan who got the picture of Mike Norvell with
the
cornrows from when he went to
Central Arkansas.
It was when FSU upset. I think then they were number 5 in the country, UNC at the time in 2020. Yes. Which it's crazy to think of how much the college football scene has changed in just 3 years from that. But it started off as a joke. It started off as a comment he made that's just like, he was going to Kentucky Derby with his family, and one of his friends couldn't come. He said, man, it would be easier to bring a goldfish with me than it would be bring a friend. He looked it up on the TSA website. If any of you want to do this, apparently it's legal with the TSA that you can do it. You can bring a live goldfish onto the plane. But that's, like, your personal item or, like, your character. Yeah, your personal item. Like, you can't bring, like, a backpack or something. The other thing will have to be your carry-on. But, like, you can bring a bag of, like, with a goldfish in it or a fish in it, and that can be your carry-on item onto the plane. You can't put the bag into other things. Like, it has to be, like, a see-through bag that you can see. So that's
So that's how it all started. And yes, it's the same fish. I know I've been seeing people on Facebook and being like, that's not the same fish. And I'm like, yes, it's the same fish. It's been the same fish since LSU. This is where all of this started. And he's been at every game.
And you can kind of dispel the other one if it's not safe for the fish, because he does a lot to take care of this fish.
Yeah, yeah. He has very close friends that work a lot with reptiles and other fish and stuff like that. So they work with him to make sure that the pH levels of the water are balanced. He had a little bit of a crisis when he went to Boston because he said the water was not, like, safe enough for the fish to be in. But they got it figured out. He's been to Boston. He's been to Clemson. If you look at my story, he has some very interesting photos of him rushing the field after FSU beat Clemson. He has one with Mike Norvell. My favorite one, though, is he took a picture with Jaheim Bell, and I think he caught Jaheim Bell off guard or something, because he came up to him, and Jaheim Bell is standing with him, but Jaheim has this very confused look on his face, seeing this kid with a goldfish in a bag next to him. But he was really fun to interview. This is something he's been passionate about for a long time. He even brought his own spin of, like, the glitter guys to his high school when he was in high school at Lake Howell High School in Orlando. It was a fun story. It's fun to learn about just what this was, because it's crazy, but it's exciting and fun. So if you want to check it out, it's on Tallahassee.com. You can look up something fishy, and that should be the first thing that pops up. There's a gallery to compliment it to. There's all different stuff and elements to this very unique story.
And definitely, and I want to wrap up this football one with what we have left this week, because we both have some interesting stories coming this week. We'll have, this will be with the Seminole script, so you guys will see that. Later in the day, Thursday today, when you guys are hearing this, you're going to see the, from Jack, the opponent preview, which we've altered a little bit, done a little differently this week.
Yeah.
You'll see that. They'll get to learn a little bit more about Wake Forest. I guess important thing to note is cross country this weekend.
Mm.
This weekend is hosting the ACC tournament for the first time, I think. I believe their men's coach has since 2013, which is around the same time they lost one. The men's have a legit chance to win this year. So
those 3 years, the football team and the cross country
team. So I will have a men's and women's preview. Jack will have a short feature on one of the local runners, which you could talk a little bit about, and a new head coach for women's that has been started this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's Allison Churchill, and she's been a big part of the women's team. Through her 4 years at Florida State, she's a local product from Childs High School in Tallahassee. And, it's more about, the vibe that they're trying to grow in the women's program right now and how the ways things are progressing and stuff like that. And this is the advantage of hosting at Appalachian Regional this year, which is on the east side of Tallahassee. This has been, interesting stretch lately for, events hosted at Appalachian Regional, in addition to holding state every year for the high schools in Florida. In 2021, it hosted the national championships for cross country, the ACC championship this year. And it's been a unique venue that's getting a lot of, notice over the years and stuff like that. And Florida State is definitely taking advantage of being able to run on, of course, they're very familiar with.
Definitely. What else we'll have this week? We'll have Just the Facts, which, with the prediction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Seminole Script Roundtable has a prediction, the video and that. And you got our official prediction in here as well. Jack covering a soccer game tomorrow. I'll be at women's basketball exhibition. Jack Sunday will be at the men's basketball exhibition. Well, obviously, we have football Saturday, which I'll have a Jerry and Jones feature Saturday morning for you guys pregame to read, which I'm really excited about. He talked about some tattoos. You guys need to read about that. This is a tattoo-themed episode.
Yeah, I'll have a feature on Dimitri Emmanuel coming in on Friday as well. Not a lot of college football players playing for 7 years, so, or just involved in the sport for 7 years. So he was a really exciting guy to talk to. Offensive coordinator Alex Adkins had a lot of good things to say. They've been together for a long time. Adkins came from Charlotte, and that's where Dimitri Emmanuel transferred out of too. So they've been together for a while too. But yeah, that should be interesting as well.
Yeah, and then also we'll mention our editor probably has a story coming out later this week about the Doak Campbell renovations, new season ticket holders, all that information. He talked to a bunch of fans. And there's some people upset about how the prices have gone up. And I'm not going to get into detail about that because he did a great job looking at it. It's like a 1,400-word story.
Yeah, so it's a lengthy one, but it will answer just about every question that fans will
have in relation to the Joe Campbell renovations.
So we've already had some great content for football this week. We have more coming up. Now we can slowly transition because it's a major soccer game this weekend. This week, Thursday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's senior night on Thursday. The soccer team's hosting NC State. And, I mean, the Seminoles have just been rolling this year. They currently sit at 13-0-1 overall. They're one loss. No, I'm sorry, not one loss. one tie. It's been a long day, y'all. Came to the at the time they were the number one team in the country. Florida State is now the number one team in the country for four straight weeks. They have been absolutely lights out this entire season, and they are able to not only just honor their seniors tonight, but they can clinch the ACC regular season title outright. And then they finished their regular season undefeated for the first time since 2020. I don't know how competitive of a game it's going to be, but the significance of what the result could be huge. They also get a bye into the ACC tournament, so they won't have to host a home game in the ACC tournament. They're going
to
be
they go straight to Cary for the semifinals.
And, yeah.
Which is significant. It's a long soccer season, you know, 15, it's going to be game 15. They played a physical pit team last week. Mm-hmm. It's ACC's physical. ACC's arguably the most complete soccer league in women's college soccer. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy games to win in week in and week out. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Pac-12 is obviously good as well. SEC has some good teams, but the ACC is one of the toughest conferences. So, but yeah, they're going to honor 10 seniors. That's been interesting. Not all those. I think five of those seniors have exhausted their eligibility. There's going to be five seniors who have the option of coming back, which could be interesting. But and we talked to Christina Roque today, the goalkeeper. That and this is probably just a sense around the team. She mentioned that, you know, she has not decided what she wants to do yet next year. And then Penske kind of echoed that, like, the team's still deciding. They want to see what the next couple of months bring them, how they feel, what the emotions are after, and then they can decide. Like you mentioned, you know, Heather Pink did not decide until June, July that she was not coming back. Mm-hmm. I think she's playing in Ireland now in a league over there, so that's really cool. She was a fun player to, you know, talk to, and love talking to her. She was a fun player, so we'll see what they do. But obviously, some of these players, I think Jack can give you a list of, like, you know, who was actually done. But some of these players might still be at FSU. Other players are going to be done here.
Yeah, you know, Oni Ezukini is one of the players that have exhausted their eligibility. Lily Farkas, Leilani Nesbitt, and Leah P.S. are all the ones that have exhausted their eligibility. The ones that still have, still have eligibility left, which is notable. A few notable players in here as well as Jody Brown, who has been absolutely lights out this year. Lauren Flynn, another player too. Ron Iwa, another, you know, top defender as well. Beata Olson, one of the big minds behind Florida State's success this year. Christina Roque, the goalkeeper who has been the anchor for a lot of the success over her time there. Caitlin Zippe. Zip, as they call her, she's another player who Penske mentioned a lot of how she was dealing with an injury a lot in the spring, and now she's really starting to come in and find her game. So there are a lot of big names that are still up for, still have a chance to play next year if they choose. But as Essa mentioned, that they are right now concerned, they're looking into where life is going to take them for these next few months, and then maybe they stay, maybe they don't.
They're all the options. The ceremony, if you guys listen to this before the game, starts at 6:45. The game's at 7:00. Mm-hmm. All Florida State needs to do is win, and they clinch the ACC regular season championship, the number one overall seed. They'll go straight to Cary to play over there, which is where also the College Cup is this year again.
Yes.
Familiar sight for them because the ACC Championship was there last year and the College Cup was there last year as well. So Florida State's going to go back to familiar territory at some point. You know, they're going to go for sure for the ACC Championships. If they win out, good chance of number one overall. Penn State, who was number one in the College Soccer Committee, blah, blah, blah.
They lost to Indiana, yeah.
They lost Indiana. So Florida State is right now very much in the pole position to be number one overall seed, which they were last year, and get back to the College Cup, which Fingers crossed, me and Jack will both be there to cover, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's the same weekend as the ACC Championship game in football.
There's a very high chance that two Florida State football/football teams could be up in North Carolina, so we will see.
Very important games.
Yeah, we will see how things fold out there. Another thing to note that Brian Penske cleared out to us today, that Jordan Dudley will not be playing against North Carolina State. She's a little banged up against Duke.
Sounds like she got hit in her knee a little bit.
Yeah,
nothing serious. It doesn't sound like it's season. It's the regular season ending.
Mm-hmm.
But they expect her to be back for the ACC tournament. It's just a rest, an opportunity to get rest. And it's gonna be interesting. Like, it opens up opportunities. Like, that's what injuries do at this time of the year. Is they can open up opportunity playing five for someone else, which can be fantastic, especially when you have ACC locked up, at least a share tied up, locked up. You can, you can have a player that just emerges and just becomes a major player in the postseason.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah, no, I mentioned Caitlin Zippe, or I'll just call her Zip if we mention her again, but that's a player I know. I talked to Brian Penske, and she's finding her game right now, and she's really growing back into her game again, and she's a player that can really emerge if any injuries come about or anyone needs to be held out. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, Dudley's just going to be, it's kind of – we don't know what the status of a potential injury would be, but sounds like it's just for the purpose of resting
before
the ACC tournament, which is a smart move.
Precautionary, more than anything else. Talk about, I think Brian Penske said something. We were both at the press conference today.
Mm-hmm.
Penske mentioned something funny about he said the team trainer before the season scheduled a off week this week for Saturday, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which is when the first round of the ACC tournament would be. In anticipation that Florida State would be a top two team, and he's like, thank God we actually did that.
No, this team is very good at scheduling, preparing, and they're pros out there for sure.
Yeah, no, and Penske's a pro to talk to. He's fantastic.
Great guy.
Great guy. He's done a great job. Second year, he's gonna have at least a share of the ACC championship for two straight years.
Mm-hmm.
He could win the ACC tournament again, and he could get the team to the College Cup. It's like a legit chance because they will host the postseason here. And what he mentioned is he said the team doesn't talk about it, but he says this is a veteran team. They know what's at stake. They know what they're playing for, mm-hmm. and you could expect them to come out and play hard.
Yeah, and these games too, especially in the Notre Dame game, Pitt, in the Pitt game, what had happened was they had moved their forwards to midfield a little bit more to help out there, and the strategy wasn't working early on, so then they pushed their forwards back up, and that's where the game kind of opened up a little bit more for them. You still won out, still looked good. Notre Dame game was really where we saw FSU look like the number one team in the country. They just dominated the Irish. It truly was a dominant performance for FSU in that game, but they have really big things on the horizon there for sure.
Definitely, and I think we got a lot of soccer talk. Also on Thursday, we could talk. It's a perfect transition.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about women's basketball. They are hosting Flagler for. They played them last year. They will play them again this year for one of two exhibition games. That game's at Thursday at 6 p.m. at Tucker Civic Center. They also have Clayton State on November 1st.
Mm.
But I'll be out there tomorrow for the game. I'm excited for that. It's going to be fun.
Mm.
We talked to Brooke Wyckoff today, Sarah Bajetti, and Omira Gordon, and they're excited. They want to play someone else. They've been scrimmaging themselves. They've been scrimmaging their green team that they play. So they've been doing a lot of scrimmaging against each other. They're ready to start playing against someone else. And, I asked Brooke today, I said, what do you want to see out of the exhibition game? And she said defense, which is the team's identity last year. They want to defend. They want to cause turnovers. They want to cause chaos, steal the ball, get down court, score quick baskets. I love what she said today. They want to be the fastest team in college basketball. They want to be the highest scoring team in basketball. They are fun.
No, there are a lot of high standards for this team this year, and they built their schedule in that way too. As a team that's achieving high, wants to achieve high standards as well. They're coming into the season. It's they're 18th in the country, right?
I believe so. You know, I don't remember the exact ranking.
They are ranked in the top 25 this year. They do have a handful of big games on the schedule as well. They play Tennessee this year at home. I believe Florida is back on the schedule as well.
On the road.
On the road. Pulling up the schedule. Oh, perfect. Google has it right here. Yeah, you have a big Big Ten game in there against Northwestern. No, it's DePaul. I grew up around Chicago.
So 18 was correct, by the way.
18 was correct? Okay, awesome.
We did it, guys.
Yeah. And then Arkansas is on that schedule, too. You have to talk about the ACC games they have against UNC and Virginia Tech. You know, Duke's still going to be a strong squad. You have Miami in there as well. You can never count out Notre Dame and Louisville.
Stanford potentially
in a tournament, right?
Yeah,
in Henderson, Nevada, at the Dollar Loan Center.
Interesting name.
Yeah, and they have an interesting mix of games coming up, and it's a team that's ambitious, a team that's hungry, and the team that in the past few years, they mentioned that they've been a team in the position that was kind of down looking up. Now they're kind of the ones looking that are up right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, important note, Florida State's made the NCAA tournament 11 straight years, I believe, is what the number we were told today, which makes sense. They're always a good program in and out. They had a great coach for a long time that, you know, got the team to this level. Brooke, last year was her first year. Sue Summers, I don't know why that name slipped my mind, was the coach for a long time. She retired before last season. Brooke Wyckoff, one of her longtime assistants, former player, stepped up and was a coach. So she was a full-time coach for the first time last year. She was also during the COVID year. She stepped in when her mom was sick, and Sue's mom was sick, that Brooke stepped up. So last year was her first full year running a team. It was a brand-new roster. They had major roster turnover, utilized the transfer portal to rebuild the roster on the fly, rebuild the culture. And the expectations were low last year. They played a schedule that was a little less, I want to say challenging, I want to say lesser schedule. I think it's unfair. But they played a schedule that would prepare them for ACC play, did not test them as much early on. This year they're playing, like mentioned, Tennessee, UCLA, potentially Stanford. These are powerhouses, you know, in college basketball. Miami's usually really good. So this is going to be, a team that's going to play a much tougher schedule with anticipation that they want to be ready for the ACC schedule, especially the second half where they kind of wore down last year. They want to be ready to hit the ground running. They expect to be, instead of being like, I like how Burke said today, last year they were looking at those teams that were ranked and looking up to them like, oh, these teams are, you know, we want to beat them because we're not getting ranked. It's not fair. We're better than that, but people don't know us yet. And now this year, they'd be like, yeah, we're the team that's ranked that teams would be gunning for. Be like, they want to prove it against FSU. So should be fun. I think the most entertaining part of the day was when we got to talk about Taniya Lotson.
Yeah, I mean, the things that the players have said about Taniya Lotson. I'm just coming into this part of the beat. So I've heard a lot from Essen about what Taniya Lotson is capable of. Taniya Lotson is capable of. But hearing it from the players and their teammates around her is just, you know, you get excited hearing about what kind of player she is.
No, I mean, I made the comparison last year, and then I had it confirmed from multiple people compared to an NBA player. A player I grew up loving, I still love, Dwayne Wade. Compared to Dwayne Wade, because she's like, you know, fearless in the paint, she can go score. She's not scared to take contact and score, and she's a fun player to watch. She's exciting. I think she belongs up there with some of the Caitlin Clarks, the Angel Reese's. That's
of the world, yeah.
Of the world, like I'm giving her high praise. Of players I think she's comparable to, or she should be in a conversation with. She's a really fun player. I think the world's going to get to know her this year because Florida State's going to get a little more love because they're number 18. They start the season ranked. They're going to be picked higher in the ACC. So, yeah, I mean, I think we talked to Sarah Bajetti, and I asked her today about Taniya, what's her ceiling. She said, I don't like saying a phrase, sky is the limit. So she said, whatever space, whatever black hole, whatever that is.
Whatever universe she's in.
That's the black hole, whatever is up there is her ceiling.
It's endless, yes. Essentially what she was saying.
Which is amazing to hear. Like, it's one thing for us to say it. And then we also talked to Myra Gordon. She mentioned how, you know, humble Taniya is. How, you know, She carries a team. She's grown to a leader now. She's a special, special player. If she was not hurt last year in that first round of NCAA tournament, it could have been interesting to see what Florida State could have done. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough draw. They had Georgia, then they had Iowa. It's going to be tough to beat Iowa on the road, but...
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
But it was a team that had a lot of promise. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'll be out there tomorrow at 6 p.m. You could expect that. They began the season... let me pull this up. What day was it? I want to say November 6th. Was that right, Jack? November 6th, yeah. Against Charleston Southern. They opened the season.
And then that same week, Tennessee comes to town.
Yeah, November 9th. That
would be a big game.
Best believe me and Jack are both going to be at that game.
That's going to be exciting. I mean, Lady Volunteers, that is one of the most storied programs of women's college basketball. And do you know who Tennessee's only first-round loss in the NCAA tournament when Pat Summitt was coaching was to?
Florida State?
It was to Ball State.
Oh, Ball State.
One of the biggest upsets all time. But anyway, no.
Sorry, guys, we're a Ball State podcast now.
We are a Ball State podcast every day. But no, yeah, Tennessee's coming down. That's
number 11 Tennessee preseason.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun game for sure. Definitely. I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely. Obviously, the men's open the season on Sunday.
Yes.
I think they play Flagler as well. They had the ACC Media Day today. And I have to do this because it's 1989 week.
Oh, God.
No. Leonard Hamilton's feeling 22.
Oh, my God.
Because this is year 22 at FSU. Jack's cringing right now. I made him cringe. But Leonard Hamilton's entering year 22. You know, last 2 years have been down years. They are a team that's going to, use the portal. And I talked to Leonard last week, sat down with him. Interesting guy to talk to. You know, we were in there about 40, 45 minutes of meeting a couple of beat reporters. First 20 minutes, he went about some stories about from his Miami days, brought up Dan Le Batard, talked about different things. Leonard Hamilton's always a joy to talk to. They had ACC Media today. Boba Miller was the player that was there representing them. And obviously, we know Boba Miller's importance last year, unjustly suspended first half of the season for taking money, paying it back. When Florida State was not even involved and he was punished.
Odd.
Just odd situation. He deserved better. He came into the season with a shin injury. I think it was shin splints. And just never got to build up a rhythm, never got to become the college player he wanted to. He came back this year, which is major for Florida State. I think that could be a player who could be really good. Mm-hmm. If he is right this year, he was projected as a lottery pick last year. So he's someone that, you know, has played with Giannis.
Yeah, I mean he's a player even when I wasn't on the beat that I was hearing a lot about, and as you mentioned too, he was very just limited last year with just all the factors he had to deal with and stuff like that, and he's expected to have just a bigger impact this year, so it'll be interesting to see where he steps in and stuff like that and really fills into this lineup that did take some losses in the offseason. But he's another player that's going to be exciting to watch this year.
Back in July, he led Spain to a 7-3-6-9 win to win the FIBA U19 World Cup Championship. Funny, he told us his gold medal shattered. That story's online. Yeah. That's from earlier this year, but it's a fun story that he got to do.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a special player. You know, didn't you have Primo Spears, I think, was made make or break for the season. If he transferred from Georgetown to Florida State after the firing of his head coach, waiting on a waiver for him in typical NCAA fashion we haven't heard yet. Hopefully we hear soon on his status. Leonard Hamilton is very, very optimistic about his chances of him being – and he transferred for the right reasons. That's what Leonard said, and I agree. Mm-hmm. He should be able to play this year. They have Darren Green, who's back this year, and – two other players, they hit the transfer portal. They have some good players returning. They play Sunday against Flagler as well. Jack will be out there. He'll have a short story on that. He's doing a season preview.
Yeah.
I'm doing a women's season preview. And I'll probably be out there to watch a game with him because I'll be back from Wake Forest at that point.
Yeah, that's going to be having a long day, but still want to get a look at the basketball team for sure.
It's part of the job. It's part of the job. It's fun. Like, you know, this job is about doing all that. But yeah, Jack, let's if we want to wrap up now.
Well, yeah, I have one more thing to put into about the men's team. You're good. I mean,
been hearing so much from the local other local media too, specifically about WCTV, about this the Valdosta State game coming up on November 5th on Sunday, and how competitive it might be as well. And that's a game I'm kicking myself because I'm gonna be flying back from Pittsburgh
that I won't be at that game, unfortunately, because I have other applications. But
yeah, but that's gonna be an entertaining game as well. And then you have Kennesaw State right after that too. It's like, who's just a tournament team, I believe so.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so they have a very interesting front half of the schedule coming up for the men's team as well, and they have some action on November 13th against Central Michigan, then they go off to Florida.
Yeah, that game was fun last year to watch Florida come here. That was a kind of broke down how Florida State was last year. First half, they were killing Florida. The second half, they just fell apart. I think that summed up the season last year, where they just kind of fell apart in the second half of a lot of games. But competed well, but they fell apart in the second half. But yeah, I mean, Florida State men's basketball starting soon. It's going to be very busy for us.
It's going to be very busy for us. The fall sports, it's something that me and Essen have dealt with. The high school sports is only continuing on in college, where it's that transition season where fall sports are winding down, winter sports are starting up. Essen has one more thing to talk about here before we sign off.
Yeah, no, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this.
A team that is playing very well this year.
They have a three-way tie at the top of with Pittsburgh and Louisville. Florida State volleyball. They're 9-1 at ACC play this year. 15-7 overall, so look like a little slow start. 8-6 before, or
undefeated at home.
Sorry, I can't do math. That's 6-6 outside of conference play.
Yeah,
math is very hard, guys.
Yeah, undefeated at home. They're playing Louisville on Friday, who is the number 5 team in the country.
That could be important. It might be an uphill battle for them. Louisville's really good.
And Florida State has been gotten into it with some really good teams. I mean, this year, it's the only game I've been able to watch this year. I watched it on TV. They went 5 sets with Florida, and they really did have a chance in that game. Yeah, Chicago State. They really got close with you're moving the screen up and down. You're driving me crazy here, Essen. Yeah, they played Florida. They went to 5 sets, and FSU really had their chances in that game. Florida pulled it out by 2 points. Obviously, that's how 5 sets work. But the 5th set works. But
that was an entertaining match. They had a chance in that one as well.
But
they still have their season ends November 25th. So there's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
We will definitely make it out to the game at some point.
Absolutely.
It's been hard. They've been playing on Fridays, which is one of our days off, and Sunday's the other day off, so or catching up with football stuff, so it's been hard to make it up, but we will make it out there and provide you guys coverage, obviously. Their coach won his 800 career game earlier this year, had a feature on that, and they're an interesting program. We will have more we will talk more about that next week as well on our podcast. But obviously, they're a really good team. They have a tough schedule coming up. They play Louisville and Pittsburgh within the next 2 weeks. So we'll learn a lot about if they are real ACC contenders, real, going to be able to do stuff in the playoffs, or if they're just pretender. But they look really good so far, 9-1 in ACC play. Obviously, ACC is an interesting conference, tough.
Yeah, but we'll see what they do down the road here for
definitely.
Sure.
Jack, you want to tell them where they can find their stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find all of our content, all of our stories at Tallahassee.com, on Twitter/X. We are Knoll Sports, same thing as on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's a little bit different. It's THL Knoll Sports. You can find Moi's content on Twitter/X at Jack G. Williams. Essen's is Essen_Kasim, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, but yes, thank y'all for enjoying. I'm sorry, I'm very loopy today. It's been a long day. But thank you to everybody for joining us for another episode of Knoll Sports Podcast. We post these every Thursday.
Perfect Thursday.
Yeah, every Thursday. Our seminal script goes up the same day. And yeah, join us for another episode next week.
Yes, and we'll break down the college football playoffs next week. We'll have the first rankings out by the time this episode comes out.
We'll have even more to talk about.
We'll talk about Pitt. We'll talk about more basketball season. We'll have not started yet, but we'll have some insight from these exhibition games, and then we'll talk more about volleyball. Mm-hmm. The ACC, believe that should be next week, later in the week, that we'll talk about the ACC tournament as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
We'll have plenty to talk about.
We're just planning all this ahead. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us today.
Thank you.